Okay, so as Ronnie mentioned, I'm going to be presenting findings from the fourth school nutrition dietary assessment study on the food and nutrient content of after-school snacks that are provided through the National School Lunch Program. I have no relationships to disclose for this presentation. So I just wanted to start with a little background about why we care about snacks. Research has shown that snacks are an important contributor to children's food and nutrient intakes. Recent data from the NHANES What We Eat in America study show that on average children are consuming 2 snacks per day. And these snacks are contributing approximately 25% of children's daily intakes of calories, saturated fat, calcium, and dietary fiber. Desserts, salty snacks, and sweetened beverages have been found to be major contributors to these snack calories, and these types of foods often contribute to intakes of empty calories. So one way that children obtain snacks is through after-school programs, and the snacks that are provided to children in after-school programs are an important source of nutrition. This is especially true for elementary school children and children from low-income families who are more likely to participate in after-school programs. Okay, so since the late 1990s, schools that participate in the National School Lunch Program, or the NSLP, have had the option to provide after-school snacks to children in eligible after-school programs and receive reimbursement for these snacks. Children from low-income families are eligible to receive the snacks for free or at a reduced price. Nationally, about 27% of schools that participate in the NSLP provide after-school snacks through this program. And in 2012, 230 million after-school snacks were served through the NSLP, and on an average day, 1.4 million snacks were served. So the NSLP is a major source of after-school snacks for children, but I did want to mention that after-school programs may offer snacks through the Child and Adult Care Food Program and receive reimbursement through that program, or they may offer snacks that are not subsidized by any federal program. In order for schools to receive reimbursement for the snacks that are served through the NSLP, the after-school programs must provide children with regularly scheduled educational or enrichment activities in a supervised environment. The snacks must also contain at least 2 of 4 components, a milk, a fruit, vegetable, or 100% juice, a meat or meat alternate. Meat alternates include items like yogurt, cheese, or nuts, or a whole grain or enriched bread or cereal. There are no nutrient-based requirements for snacks served through the NSLP, only these food-based requirements. And very little is known on the types of foods that are actually offered in NSLP after-school snacks or the nutritional quality of these snacks. So the objective of our research was to provide some information on NSLP after-school snacks. And specifically, we aim to describe the most commonly offered foods in NSLP after-school snacks and to describe the calorie and nutrient content of these snacks. Also to describe the potential contributions of NSLP after-school snacks to USDA food pattern recommendations. And lastly, to identify leading sources of calories from solid fats and added sugars in these snacks. So for our analysis, we used data from the fourth School Nutrition Dietary Assessment Study, or SINDA-4. And SINDA-4 was conducted by Mathematica Policy Research and was funded by USDA's Food and Nutrition Service. SINDA-4 was designed to find findings that are representative of all public schools participating in the NSLP in the 48 contiguous states and the District of Columbia. We collected data from schools in between January and June of 2010. We had food service managers complete a detailed menu survey for 1 school week. We asked them to provide information on all of the foods and beverages that were offered in NSLP after-school snacks, including detailed food descriptions and portion sizes. And we had a total of 172 schools that provided data on NSLP after-school snacks. Okay. So we assigned all of the foods that were offered in snacks to a set of major and minor food groups. The major food groups included milks, fruits, vegetables, bread, grains, meat alternates, entrees, and other menu items. And then we further classified foods within those major groups into a set of minor groups based on various characteristics of the foods. We then estimated the percentage of daily snack menus across all schools that included each of these major and minor food groups. And we obtained the amounts of calories and nutrients in the foods offered in snacks from the Food and Nutrient Database for Dietary Studies, and we used the My Pyramid Equivalence Database to obtain data on the amounts of USDA food pattern food groups in the foods offered in snacks. And the USDA food pattern food groups are essentially the food groups that are behind USDA's MyPlate system. Okay, so we estimated the average amounts of calories, nutrients, and USDA food pattern food groups using a simple average based on averaging values for all foods on a given day or a given menu, and then created weekly averages for each school, and then average values across all schools in our sample. And we wanted to provide some context for interpreting the findings on the calorie, nutrient, and food pattern food group content of snacks, so we compared the snacks to the USDA food patterns. The USDA food patterns translate the dietary guidelines into recommendations on the types and amounts of foods to consume in a diet that would meet nutrient needs without exceeding calorie requirements. And the food patterns provide kind of average daily amounts of foods to consume from five basic food groups as well as oils, and also provide a suggested maximum limit on the calories to consume from solid fats and added sugars, or SOFAST calories. This is essentially a measure of empty calories. There are 12 different food patterns, and we compared after-school snacks to the 1,800-calorie food pattern. The 1,800-calorie food pattern reflects recommendations for elementary school children and was used by the Institute of Medicine in developing recommendations for the new nutrition standards for school meals in elementary schools. Okay, so now on to the findings of our study. So this figure shows the percentage of daily snack menus that included foods from each of our defined major food groups. So as you can see on the far left-hand side of the figure, bread grains were offered most frequently in daily snack menus and were included in 75% of these menus. Milk was the next most frequently offered food group and included in 60% of daily menus. About half of daily menus included a fruit or 100% juice. But vegetables were infrequently offered. And then meat and meat alternates and other menu items were each included in about 1 in 10 daily snack menus. And this other menu items group includes items like desserts and snack items. Okay, and now the boxes above each of these bars shows the minor food group within each of these major groups that was offered most frequently. So in the bread grains group, crackers and pretzels were offered most frequently and included in half of daily snack menus. In the milk group, 1% milk was the most commonly offered item, included in about 40% of menus. 100% juice was offered in about one-third of daily menus and was more commonly offered than either fresh fruit or canned fruit. When vegetables were offered, they were mostly raw carrots. Cheese was the most commonly offered meat alternate, and cookies and cakes were the most commonly offered item in this other menu items group. Okay, so this slide shows the calorie and nutrient content of the average NSLP after-school snack, and the percentage contribution the average snack would make to the nutrients in the 1,800-calorie food pattern. And the nutrients we've shown here are ones that have been identified as nutrients of concern or shortfall nutrients by either the Dietary Guidelines or the Institute of Medicine. So on average, NSLP after-school snacks provided about 260 calories, and this is about 15% of the 1,800 calories recommended for elementary school children. The average snack contained 2 grams of dietary fiber, which is only 7% of the dietary fiber that's included in the 1,800-calorie food pattern. And then the average snack provided between 16 and 18% of the vitamin A, vitamin C, and calcium included in the 1800 calorie food pattern. Okay, so next we'll look at the potential contributions of NSLP after-school snacks to USDA food pattern recommendations. So the bars on this figure are showing the percentage contribution of the average after-school snack to the amounts of food groups, oils, and calories from SOFAS included in the 1800 calorie food pattern. So the average snack provided considerable amounts of fruit and dairy. They provided 27% of the recommended amount of fruit and 22% of the recommended amount of dairy. The average snack provided 17% of the recommended amount of total grains, but only 6% of the recommendations for whole grains. The average snack provided only 1 to 2% of recommended amounts of vegetables and protein foods. And then on the far right-hand side of the figure, you'll see that after-school snacks were very high in calories from SOFAS. They provided almost 50% of the suggested maximum limit of SOFAS calories in this 1800 calorie food pattern. Okay, and so since after-school snacks made considerable contributions to SOFAS calories, we examined the leading food sources of these calories. And among the major food groups, bread grains contributed the largest share, almost 50% of the total SOFAS calories in NSLP after-school snacks, and then milks contributed about 30% of the total SOFAS calories, and together, bread grains and milks contributed 75% of the total SOFAS calories. And then among the minor food groups, crackers and pretzels were the leading source of SOFAS calories, followed by flavored 1% milk, cookies and cakes, flavored skim milk, and unflavored 1% milk. So the flavored milks you see here, those are contributing to the calories from added sugars, and the 1% milks are contributing to the calories from solid fats. So in summary, NSLP after-school snacks offered in the 2009-2010 school year included bread, grains, milk, and 100% juice most frequently. Relative to the 1800 calorie food pattern, which reflects recommendations for elementary school children, the average snack contributes 15% of calories, almost 20% of the vitamin C and calcium included in the 1800 calorie food pattern, but only 7% of the dietary fiber. The average snack contributes at least 20% of the recommended amounts of fruit and dairy, but less than 10% of the recommended amounts of whole grains, vegetables, protein foods, and oils. And lastly, the average NSLP after-school snack was high in calories from SOFAS and contributed almost half of the maximum limit of SOFAS calories that are allowed for an entire day in this 1800 calorie food pattern. Okay, so in conclusion, CINDA-4 provides important information on the food and nutrient content of NSLP after-school snacks. To help ensure that NSLP after-school snacks make positive contributions to children's dietary intakes, some changes are needed to the types of foods that are offered, in particular including more vegetables, more whole fruit, not juice, as well as more whole grain-rich items. Also, limiting foods that have solid fats and added sugars is important so that these snacks make less of a contribution to SOFAS calories. More information about NSLP after-school snacks, as well as a large amount of information from the CINDA-4 study, are available on Mathematica's website in several reports. These reports are also available on FNS's website. You can also request public use data files from FNS, or you can contact me for more information. And lastly, we just wanted to acknowledge the large number of people and organizations that contributed to the CINDA-4 study, and they're all listed here. And with that, I can take questions if anyone has some. Yes.
Only in NSLP.
Yeah, so the Cinda 4 study was a sample of schools that participated in the NSLP. So we only have data on you know, schools that provided NSLP snacks to after school programs in their district.
And one follow-up.
Yep. So nationally, 27% of schools that participate in the NSLP provided after-school snacks through this program. The Cinda 4 study included a sample of like 885 schools. We had 172 schools that provided information on after-school snacks. I don't have the exact response rate, but it was pretty high. So the schools that did participate, that did provide snacks, you know, did provide data for the study. Yeah. In the back there, yeah. Right. Yeah. Right now, NSLP after school snacks, the requirements have not been updated. So the requirements are still pretty outdated. You know, the new nutrition standards for school lunches and school breakfast went into effect, you know, this current school year. You know, so one of our recommendations is that, you know, USDA does update the requirements for NSLP snacks so that they are kind of more up to date with the dietary guidelines. Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question was about what grade levels the data is for. About a little more than half of the 172 schools that provided data were elementary schools, and the rest were secondary schools. We didn't collect data on the actual ages of children that participate in the after-school programs. And so a school could be providing snacks to a different school in their district or to a different program, so we don't necessarily know the ages of the children that were receiving these snacks. Mm-hmm. In the back there. Yep. Mm-hmm. You can also probably Google Cinda 4 and the reports will come up. Yeah, and all of the data collection instruments that were used for the Cinda 4 study are part of the data collection, one of the reports online, so you can see those. All right. Thank you very much.